This presentation has been previously broadcast.
Hey, thanks for joining me. It's great to be here. We'll pray the chaplet. If you are on hold, I'll do my best to get you on the air, as always. And please tell others about this prayer. It is a powerful prayer. I think God has anointed it, and we see the fruit of it every day. And send me your answered prayers. I know every day, you know, we pray, and so often those prayers get answered. I got to write to Drew. I got to tell them about that. Then time goes by, and then we forget. I think it's important to give thanks to God. Look, we've had everything from dramatic miracles where cancer disappears to small little answer prayers where families who were once separated are now united, or the missing keys were found, or whatever it is. You know, I mean, every prayer is important. I know some people say, can you pray for my pet? I know it doesn't seem important. Well, it is to you. It's part of the family. I get it. And we're here for each other. Let's pray. I'm in the studio with one of my colleagues here, Chris Flood. Prays with me. And Chris, good to see you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Anything you want to pray for or lift up as we begin this?
I'm just thankful that this Easter we'll be able to actually be in church for the services. And I signed up to read for the Easter vigil at my parish. And last year we were at home in our little room with my grandkids and my daughter. And so I'm really thankful that we can go to church for Easter.
Yeah, it's wild, isn't it? That's good. Hopefully there's light at the end of the tunnel. I've seen a lot of articles recently regarding these vaccines and, you know, everything from morality to side effects. I'm just hoping that we get herd immunity in our country, and that businesses who've suffered can rebound and people can get their lives back. And let's pray today for those who were taken home through COVID. I've known several very holy men and women who've got called home, and COVID was, you know, part of the process. So, and Lord, I just pray for anyone who's battling it now. I pray for protection over our loved ones as well. And we just turn to you with a heart full of trust and longing as we begin to pray. I just a quick petition here. It's all my rundown here. It says, hey, we took this call from Joe in Mackinac City, Michigan. His 12-year-old granddaughter is in the hospital in Grand Rapids, and she needs a miracle. At 12, she's already battled leukemia and had a stroke. She was going through her last round of chemo when the doctors think she had another stroke. And he says, I asked Joe to stay in touch with me. So we'll see. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Joe, we are going to pray without question for this beautiful little granddaughter of yours. I mean, 12-year-old, it's just too young to have somebody suffer like that. When I was at grade school, one of my classmates, her name was Ann. I remember visiting her. I was in eighth grade, and she was dying of leukemia. She never made it to high school. You know, so it's just so hard on the family, and it's so hard on these children. Well, let's put them in the hands of our merciful Savior, and we'll begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right. Chris, is there anything you want to offer up?
Not today.
Okay, not today. All right.
Just the prayers of all our donors and listeners.
That's good. All right. Let's pray with Gail, who's listening to us in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Gail, thanks for joining us.
Hello, Joe. I'm calling today to pray for my husband. He had he's taken test biopsy for a prostate. Want to pray for him that everything comes out negative. And I also want to pray for my son, Raymond. He is going through training at UPS for a job with UPS. I want to pray that the Lord is with him and helps him through this.
Well, great prayers. Let's lift them up right now, especially for your husband and your son. I know you didn't mention anything personally, Gail. Let me pray for you too, okay? And for all your family and all your heart's intentions. I do pray for those starting new jobs. It's often difficult for students entering into new schools and I pray for her husband in particular, Lord. I pray for health. I pray for providence for those who are struggling financially. I pray for healing. And I just give you the intentions Gail brought forward. I unite them to all who now pray with me as we turn to you, eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. The next call comes from Katie. She's listening in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hi, Katie. Good afternoon.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Love your program.
Thanks.
I wanted to offer prayers of thanksgiving. You touched on a little earlier with the COVID.
That's awesome.
We were able to see my parents, who are both 83 and 84, this weekend for the first time in about a year.
Wow.
And hug and engage in a family situation. So that was a blessing, and we're thankful for that.
Wow.
And I wanted to ask prayers for my husband, who's looking for a job, in need of a positive outcome there, and for my children who are struggling with their faith during this COVID period, trying to find meaning and good Catholic spouses for them. So,
well, Katie, I love your prayers. I'm with
Thanks.
You. I'm going to join you in those prayers. But what a blessing for your parents as much as it was for you to be able to reunite like that and to connect. So, thank God for the little blessings of life. And let's ask him now for those answered prayers, in particular for your husband, because I know as you know, we get up there a little bit older in age, there is a thing as ageism in the workplace. I've had friends who, were in their early 50s and were having problems finding work, which is really unfortunate because they bring to the table such experience, they bring so much value. So I want to pray for your husband. Lord, I pray for anyone, again, looking for work. And today, Lord's going to open new doors for many people. I believe that. So, Lord, I thank you for those new opportunities. For those who are now facing shut doors, Lord, give them that sense of peace that they need to know that you are at work. And that happened to me. I mean, I loved what I was doing. I was in a different career field. And the Lord shut every door. The harder I pushed, the more cemented it became. Till eventually I said, Lord, I'll go wherever you want. I'll do whatever you want. I'm on my knees. And he lifted me up. And here I sit today. I'm in a whole new career, something I never wanted to do, but the Lord formed me for this through those experiences. So maybe the Lord's bringing you in a new direction. So if that's the case, pray the Lord will illuminate that path. But Lord, I pray right now for Katie's husband. He find the perfect job. That'll be one that he'll find great joy and can excel in, and that they can be financially blessed for. And I re-echo that for all who are uniting me in that prayer. We do pray for the future spouses of our children, that they be good, holy, virtuous, monogamous, faithful spouses. And for those who've grown lukewarm and tepid in their faith, those who've rejected you, those who've lost their way, I know you hear this prayer. I'm convinced of it. So I pray in thanksgiving as we turn to you now. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Carlina. She's listening to us in Skokie, Illinois, home of Father Know-It-All. Father Simon, as he likes to call himself. Hey, Carlina, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Hey. I don't know if you remember me. I called a few weeks ago regarding my grandfather who drowned in Florida.
Yeah.
And I just want to continue, well, end his story because about 3 weeks ago, he sadly passed away. And I want to pray for the repose of his soul. He fought hard, and I want to wish him a blessed road to heaven.
I love it. Well, Carly and I remember that story vividly. And let me just say to you, my heart goes out to you and to your whole family. Your grandfather was blessed to have you, and especially for this call to prayer, because a lot of people will be praying for his soul right now. So I want to pray for you, but I want to pray also for your parents and for all those who today mourn, those who have lost. And what a horrible way. I mean, you think of tragedy. It's so hard to get our head around accidents. Drowning, car accidents, whatever it may be, these unexpected ways that God calls us home. But look, as I said earlier, life's a transition. We live for a heartbeat, a blink. It's just a grain of sand on the beach, you know, of eternity. I mean, you can't even fathom what awaits us. And the transition from this life to the next, anyone who is, I spoke to a physician who drowned in Chile. She was in a kayaking accident. Her name was Dr. Mary Healy. She said it was like changing the channel on the radio. It's just changing the signal. It's a peaceful, beautiful, jubilant transition. Not that she, you know, looks forward to dying, but it's nothing to fear. And we will all make that journey. So, Lord, I pray for those who go before us. I pray for those who fear death. I pray for those who mourn. I pray for those who are in purgatory. And I give you Katie especially. I just ask that you continue to Carlina, you bless her and build her up and let her grow closer to you as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Jim's listening in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Drew. Yeah. I need your prayers and those of all the listeners.
Okay.
My cousin's wife, Sandy, is slowly suffocating to death from a disease called pulmonary fibrosis.
Yeah, it's tough.
And she's had this now for more than a year, and they operated on her last December, but it was really not successful. It really didn't have any benefit. She's in hospice right now, and the doctors, you know, there's nothing more they can do.
Yeah.
In the email that my cousin sent me describing her condition, he said a little quote to me. It said, thank you for prayers, for the love, and for relevant radio, which has been a godsend. We pray the rosary every night. So it's something that I told him about a couple of years ago,
Great.
And it's helped him, and I'm sure his wife as well.
Well,
I just pray that for a real miracle.
Yeah, well, let's do that. I know it seems impossible. I had a cousin who succumbed to the same thing. He died that way, and it is a difficult death because you know, the way you described it, you suffocate to death in some respects. That really is the case. But let's not limit God. You know, miracles happen all the time. And if it's God's will, let's put your cousin's wife in the hands of the Lord. My wife's cousin is also dying as we speak right now, and not expected to live but a day or two more, if that. So we don't know when God's going to call her home. But we pray for healing. Lord, if it's your will to testify to your glory and to your mercy, then I entrust these souls to you. Your will. And I do pray with faith. I do pray with trust. I do pray with that confidence, Father. But I also pray for the family members and others in these very critical moments, Lord, that you let your presence be felt. I give you the intention that has just been brought forward by Jim, and pray for all those now united with me in prayer. Hear our prayers, and in your mercy answer us. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call comes from, who's up next, Jim? Eileen in San Diego. Good afternoon. Hi, Eileen.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm calling to ask all the prayer warriors for intercession for my sister, Kathy. She fell down over the weekend and she cracked her pelvis and is now being worked up for a malignancy. They've seen some lesions in two parts of her bones. And so I am praying for a complete and total healing, body and soul.
Well, I love that. Let's pray. We're going to pray with you. Thank you for your call. And Eileen, I want to pray for you as well, okay? And Lord, I just give you Eileen. I give you her sister. You know, what a painful accident that is. And Lord, I pray for complete healing. I pray for anybody with orthopedic issues, anyone who's having joint or hip replacements. Lord, I pray for those who are in pain in this moment, who are suffering ailments that they're not sure what the source of the problem is. I give you the body with all of those aches and pains and diseases. I give you the hearts that are broken, that are wounded, that are away from you. I pray for the conversion of those. I want to pray today in particular for those with anxiety and depression. You'll lift that veil from them as well. Lord, I pray for the finances of so many souls who are in difficult moments right now. And I pray for those discerning and have very important decisions to make in the not-too-distant future. And I also pray for your protection. So I give you these intentions. I unite everyone on hold with me now, everyone who's written to me, and everyone who is crying out to you. I thank you for the promises of the chaplain. I thank you for the way you will answer these prayers. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
I think that was a bonus prayer. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair, nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
Venerable Samuel Mazzucchelli,
pray for us.
Father Seraphim Michalenko,
pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for us.
All you holy innocent,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. Just know that if you didn't get through today on the phone, it's okay, because I am praying for you, and I continue to pray for you every day in the many times that I pray the chaplet and I spend time with the Lord. All right? And don't forget, send me those emails, answered prayers, send me your petitions as well. We're gonna pray for you. I'm going to take a short break. When I come back, the Holy Father, he made a statement about same-sex unions being blessed. You know, the German bishops had brought that forward. They wanted to go ahead and to make that they wanted that to happen. I'll tell you what the Holy Father said. Remember what he said about homosexuality in the past? This might be very important for you to hear, so stay with me. I'll get you plugged into that. Before I take the break, don't forget, I just came out with a new book on divine mercy. And if you love the chaplet, you want to learn about the history behind it, and you want to share the power of this prayer with others and see how God has worked, it's yours free. Just go to relevantradio.com. I'll even pay the shipping and handling. Well, actually, Relevant will pay the shipping and handling. Book is free. I won't pay the shipping and handling. That'd be great if I could. Relevantradio.com or the mobile app. I'll be right back.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
We're back on our feet again, and now everyone is praying together. Hi, this is Father Rocky with our 23rd Lenten lesson on the Mass. The gifts having been prepared, the priest invites everyone to pray. Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Standing up, the people reply, May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his holy church. My sacrifice and yours. Just what does that mean? Many things, but especially that the Mass is a sacrifice, not just a meal, and it is the representation of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, but in an unbloody manner. Everyone who participates in the Mass is asked to make a sacrifice because making a sacrifice is a proof of love, and our religion demands that we love God.
Mass with Father Rocky, noon Central.
And join us for Class After Mass. Hi, I'm Cale Clark. It's The Faith Explained, 12:30 Central every day on Relevant Radio.
This is The Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you get news and issues of the day from a Catholic lens? Keep it here on Relevant Radio.
I love that bumper. I don't know what it is. It's got a great groove. Hey, it's good to be back here with you. Patrick Alog's on my board today. Jake's away. Patrick, thank you. Good to be here with you. And, of course, Lucas Holtz is on our phone. If you want to join us, Lucas will be taking your calls. And you can join anytime, 888-914-9149. So, the Holy Father, responding to the German bishops on the blessing of same-sex unions. Have you followed this story at all? You know, for the ordinary person, there's really never any question in anyone's mind about whether or not Catholic clergy can somehow or other, you know, bless same-sex couples trying to act as if though they're married. There was just no way that that was going to happen. So some people might wonder why the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith felt that they needed to issue a document today to say, you know, hey, that's not going to happen, right? Catholic Church is not going to be blessing same-sex or so-called same-sex marriages, if you will, or, you know, same-sex unions. But the answer has to do with the church in Germany. Here's a news item from Rome Reports highlighting the, well, recent Vatican statement. Listen.
The Vatican responded in this official document to the tricky question of whether or not same-sex unions can receive the Church's blessing. In its response, it says that it is not licit to impart a blessing on relationships or partnerships, even stable, that involve sexual activity outside of marriage. i.e. outside the indissoluble union of a man and a woman, open in itself to the transmission of life. According to the document, blessing a same-sex couple could lead to the misunderstanding that the Church considers these unions valid. The note is signed by Cardinal Luis Ladaria, Prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, and by his second-in-command, Archbishop Giacomo Morandi. They explain that the Pope is aware of the response and that he agrees with its publication. Pope Francis has always asked that the distinction be made between a gay person and a same-sex couple. That's why the text asks for other ways to demonstrate God's closeness to all people, and points out that a gay person can receive a blessing without recognizing his or her unions.
Le persone si devono accompagnare come li accompagna Gesù.
We must accompany people like Jesus would.
Una persona che ha questa condizione.
When this type of person comes before Jesus, he will never answer, "Leave because you are a homosexual." No.
To many, this response from the Vatican could be an indirect clarification of something the Pope said that was taken out of context and presented to the world in October, in the documentary Francesco, which made it seem as if the Pope approved same-sex unions.
There's been a lot of confusion over this, hasn't there? I mean, the Holy Father said some stuff that has people scratching their head and wondering. Well, just to give you a little more perspective on the story, there's a synod that's going on, led by the bishops of the country of Germany. The bishops are calling into question the Church's teaching that it's impossible for two people of the opposite sex to get, quote, married, just like it's impossible for a person to marry themselves, right? Himself or herself, or you marry a building or a tree or whatever, right? Of course, the popular culture has been putting pressure on the Church to change this teaching. And thank God the CDF has just come out, as you just heard, issued that statement today, saying that same-sex acts, they're not ordered to the Creator's plan. And that's not uncharitable. It's truthful. It's the way God ordained things. So being faithful to God, it's impossible for the Church to bless what goes against that plan. Right? It kind of makes sense. So I'm joined today by J.D. Flynn. He's a co-founder and the editor of a great website. I check it every day, and I think it's a great resource for you, especially if you want a faith-filled perspective on the issues of the day. It's called The Pillar, and it's a new Catholic news source that's out there. And I believe in supporting good Catholic sources. You know, I think we need them. I think we're outnumbered and we're outgunned in the culture right now. And I'll give you the web address. It's pillarcatholic.com. Okay, pillarcatholic.com. JD's been with me in the past, a very gifted canon lawyer, and I've invited him to help us better understand what's happening with this whole issue of same-sex marriage, where Pope Francis truly stands, and how this will all shake out. JD, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Oh, thanks so much, Drew, for having me. I really appreciate it.
You know, to me, where I sit here, this is pretty obvious, but why did the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith feel that they actually needed to issue a statement? I mean, the teaching of the Church, as you know, you're a canon lawyer, is very, very clear, but give me your perspective on this. Will this quell the problem now?
Well, we'll see whether it quells the problem or amplifies it. So, yeah, the statement is in a certain way that came from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith today. You know, I've been talking to theologians and canon lawyers today who say, well, it's surprising in the sense that in a certain way, it's kind of theology 101. The Church is saying here that it's not appropriate for there to be liturgical blessings of, you know, relationships that are, by self-declaration, sexual relationships outside of the confines of marriage, which is something that applies not only to same-sex relationships, but with an ever sort of broadening with an ever sort of broadening cultural acceptance of various kinds of self-defined sexual relationships, it could apply to other kinds of relationships too. What the Church is saying is that a liturgical blessing on a relationship that is not marriage gives it the appearance of being marriage, or suggests that the Church is regarding it as marriage, or that it should be regarded as marriage, and that marriage is unique among sexual relationships because it's the sexual relationship that God has ordained, and the reason for our sexuality is towards expression in marriage for the unity of spouses and the procreation and education of children. So all of that is what's in the document, and it's pretty straightforward. You would hopefully learn that in a catechism class, but the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith had to issue this statement because the Catholic Church in Germany has been teaching something different in its catechism class, that an increasing number of Catholic dioceses in Germany have begun to offer liturgical blessings of same-sex marriages, which gives the appearance of there being sort of their civil marriages, but gives the appearance of them being, right. You know, marriages in the church's eyes and approved in the eyes of the church and regarded by the church in the same way as marriage. And so the CDF had to issue this document that basically explained again a sort of church's basic sacramental and liturgical theology about this as a kind of correction to the German bishops. Now, the really interesting question, which you and I were just talking about, is will the bishops take it as a correction and change what has become the praxis in some dioceses and change what has become a formal proposal right. among the German bishops who are undergoing a synod now? Or will this become a much sharper and much more acute point of disagreement between them and the Vatican, and what would be the consequences of that?
Yeah, so the long term, I mean, if you look down the road, I mean, either they say, okay, we're going to respect the Vicar of Christ on the earth and the CDF, and we'll dial back, or they persist. Would that create a schism in the church? Would there be some sort of break between the German bishops and the rest of the church?
It's a possibility, right? So schism is essentially the refusal of obedience of the Pope and the bishops in communion with him. And so if the CDF has expressed the will of the Pope here, which is really just, very basic sacramental theology, and the bishops of Germany or any other bishops or priests were to say, no, we're not going to accept that, we're going to keep doing something else, then yeah, it could indeed become the canonical situation of schism, a separation, a division in the church, which is an incredible tragedy. And you know, I think Pope Francis must be really just. Yeah. It must be an incredibly difficult moment for the Pope to think, gosh, nearly the entire episcopate of a country is going in this direction, which is contrary to the teaching of the church. How can I work to bring them back and to preserve the unity of the church while there's becoming this ever more acute division? You know, I think for me, one of the things I thought is we just need to pray for the Pope as I read this, because German bishops are almost certainly going to fire back. They've begun sort of some opening salvos today. And the Pope obviously wants to preserve the unity of the church because that's what the Lord wants. And so this is not a problem of his making, but a problem that he's tasked with solving.
Yeah, reason to pray. And as all part of the same body, I mean, we really need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Germany, especially our bishops and cardinals there. My guest is J.D. Flynn. If you want to join us, feel free to dial in. You have a question, a comment, an insight. It's 888-914-9149. Love to hear from you. We'll take your calls here as well. So I'm curious what the reaction has been from various parts of the church over this statement. It's not just Germany and Rome. How's the rest of the universal church responding? Are there other areas, other countries that share one view versus another?
Well, Germany is kind of interesting because it is this area that has this sort of high concentration of bishops and theologians who are all advancing this vision. Now, it's not sort of a monolith. There are certainly bishops who are pushing back against that, but for the majority. Here in the U.S., you know, some of the more prominent Catholic voices, of course, there have been bishops and theologians and priests who have praised the CDF statement. But of course, there are some who I think have sort of tried to downplay it. Mm-hmm. So I saw the Washington Post today, a religious sister, a theologian sort of who has been an advocate for same-sex marriage in some ways, saying, well, you know, this has to be understood in its context. There needs to be more discussion. And, you know, of course, still the church could bless each individual in a committed relationship, you know, for that commitment, which is a bit of a dodge, obviously. And so you'll see, I think, people trying to downplay it, people trying to use the other words of the Pope, other sentiments of the Pope to try to sort of say, well, you need to understand this context, and the Pope doesn't obviously mean this, or the Pope was used in some ways. But for the most part, I think it's abundantly clear that this is this is not even about the question of sort of civil unions or anything that's more complex. It's just a very clear question of can the church in her worship and liturgy bless something which is not marriage?
Yeah, all right. Well, let's do this then. We'll grab a few calls for you. If you want to join us, 888-914-9149. We'll start in Austin, Texas. Kurt dialed in, and he's got a question for you, J.D. Let's go to, all right, Austin. Hi, Kurt. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I've just got a real simple solution for me. I mean, it seems very simple. If I'm an employer and my employees are not doing right, I fire them and I get some new employees. I mean, these bishops are teaching grave error, in which it seems they are, get rid of them and get some good Orthodox bishops in there, and problem solved.
Thank you, Kurt. Let's address that, because I think that's an interesting point. Why not assign bishops, to those particular dioceses where this is coming up? And maybe we can back up to, maybe you can broaden your scope, too. Let's talk about that. Can the Holy Father say, okay, I'm going to remove these bishops, remove them, and I'm going to put somebody that is more true to the teaching of the church? Maybe you could also define, somebody may not know what a synod is, right? Give a brief overview of what's being discussed amongst this German synod, the synodal process, if you will, and whether or not what they're doing is really a proper synod, and how the Holy Father can respond.
Sure, that's a couple of questions. Let's start with how being a bishop works in this context. A lot of times you hear people, I think, who look at the problems of the church and they say, just what you said, Kurt, I'm glad you called it, I'm glad you said it. We should run the church like a business. I run a business, and if someone in my business weren't performing, I'd out them. Right. And it makes sense. You know, I get it. The trouble is that theologically, the church is a lot more like a family than it is like a business. And a family has a head, but each person is a member of the family in a far more complicated way than they are an employee. And they have, they have, by virtue of their episcopal ordination, by virtue of their presbyteral ordination, by virtue of their baptism, they have a certain set of relationships to the church that is not just as simple as fire them. The Pope can, of course, request the resignation of a bishop, but he has to weigh what the implications of that. That's a very grave step. So he has to weigh kind of what the implications of that are for people who he ultimately wants to keep in the communion of the church, and who ultimately he wants to help get to heaven. And so he has to make all these sort of prudential judgments in the context of something that ultimately feels a lot more like a family. And also comes with certain canonical rights and limitations on what can be done and those kinds of things too. So I appreciate the sentiment, but I often find that the reality is a lot more complex, especially because the Pope's goal is the goal of every Pope is to help people get to heaven, and so he has to weigh he has to look at all the pieces on the board as he thinks about what decisions to make and take a long view. And of course, the interesting thing about the history of the church is that there have been sort of fights over theology for as long as there's been a church, right? Thinking about the apostles getting together at Jerusalem to disagree about what should be done over Jewish dietary laws and other things, circumcision and other things. And so there's always been these disagreements, and the question is how they can be handled in a way that is fruitful, that resolves the issue, and is seen as a positive resolution instead of, sometimes just the sheer application of power is needed. But sometimes that's not always an elegant solution to the problem.
Rather than get into what the German synod is all about, let me just grab Pete very quickly because I have to take a break. And I do want to talk about also the communion, the Eucharist for politicians. But first, Pete is listening in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. Pete, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. Great, great topic, Drew. I'm glad you brought this up because when I heard about it, it was so disappointing. And, when you listen to these stories and you hear these things, this is what's happening to our society, right? I mean, you look at it, we just keep giving in and giving in. And the unique thing about our religion is it's 2,000 years old. And the thing that I see happening, and, I'm a cradle Catholic, I'm 56 years old, and when I hear these things, it's like we're constantly adapting to society, even in small ways. I mean, some churches no longer ring the bells at mass, altar boys and girls don't dress exactly the way we used to. We just keep cutting corners to adapt to whatever it may be. And this is wrong. And frankly, this is what's wrong with society. We keep giving in instead of sticking to the guns, which is the most important thing. And that's God, and bringing this back to our society. And, we got to get back to the Ten Commandments and doing these things. And as long as we stick to those guns, things will get better. And I just feel like we keep just falling to the pressure of society. And we can't do
it. Pete, let me hold you on that point because I'm up against the clock. I want JD to respond to you. Go ahead, JD. You got about a minute. That's about all I can give you. And then we'll take a break and come back. We'll go right ahead.
I really appreciate your call, Pete. Of course, I think you make a lot of good points. The challenge for the church, I think, in every age is to figure out, to discern as well as possible, how can we proclaim the gospel in word and sign and symbol and action in a way that is meaningful and efficacious in this culture, while at the same time making sure that we're preserving the gospel in her integrity, in the fullness of what the Lord has revealed to us in the deposit of faith in the church's magisterium on that subject. And so it's a challenge always, but I think you're right. That sticking with the faith is the key to integrity in that process.
Well, stay with me when we come back. And by the way, if you're just joining me, the Holy Father came out with a big announcement today on the blessing of same-sex unions. We'll continue that conversation, but I also want to talk about the USCCB, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, taking up the issue of communion and politicians. That conversation and more right after this.
Gorder & Forrester's is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Insight and analysis you won't find anywhere else. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's right. I'm always trying to give you a look at life you won't find anywhere else. And that's a big story, bringing clarity to a lot of confusion on the blessings of same-sex unions. The Holy Father coming out, Rome making a statement addressing the German bishops. If you missed any of that, I'm sure my guest, J.D. Flynn, who's one of the co-founders of The Pillar, has been writing about this as well. It's a Catholic news source that's out, and their website is pillarcatholic.com if you want to learn a little bit more about that. I only have a few moments here. I do want to get to one other issue today. We could probably dive into it tomorrow, but I want to talk about the U.S. bishops and what's happening here amongst our own conference. They've been talking for a lot of years about Catholic politicians who support abortion. And it started in a big way. If you remember back in 2004 when we had a Catholic candidate, John Kerry, right? He was running for president. And at the time, Cardinal Burke was archbishop, and he was asked if he would give communion to then-candidate Kerry if he showed up to a campaign in St. Louis. And the archbishop, of course, the archbishop answer was that he wouldn't. He would not do it because Kerry was in favor of abortion. He was committing objectively grave sin. And Canon 915 forbids the minister of communion from giving the Eucharist to those who persistently commit public grave sin. I can think of a few other people that do this, right? I'm not going to mention any names. I think you know, right? It's been an issue that came up during the last election. Of course, that answer from then Bishop Burke, it set off a firestorm of controversy within the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, and with many of them, including the disgraced Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, saying that he would not make the altar rail a battleground. And we hear this type of dialogue, right? The Eucharist is not a political instrument. And I get all that. That discussion, it has been simmering off and on now these last 17 years. And now the USCCB wants to have a full discussion about it. They could be voting on a document about it in June, possibly voting on a final statement this November. This is big. I mean, this is huge. And I cannot wait to see what comes out. And I'll ask you to do this, too. I want you to pray for the Church Universal. I want you to pray for the German bishops. I want you to pray for our bishops. We have a duty to do that as faithful. That the Holy Spirit really convicts minds, convicts hearts, and illuminates minds, really, is what we need to do. These decisions are right, and we know that a lot of good will come from that. As I said, I'm joined by J.D. Flynn. He's here. He's a great canon lawyer, by the way, too. Just changing gears, we could talk about the same-sex union issue all day, but this is, to me, a big issue, especially since we have a so-called Catholic president in office that is receiving communion and going to Mass on Sunday. I presume that the situation with President Biden is what set off the latest round of discussions. I don't know, but maybe you have some perspective. What's been going on in the background since this election, and why are the bishops now talking about this?
Yeah, so right in November, right after President Biden was elected, Archbishop Jose Gomez, who's the president of the U.S. Bishops Conference, announced that he would form a working group among the U.S. bishops to address the issues that come up for them with the first Catholic president in decades, obviously, and the first Catholic president in the period of legalized abortion, and the first Catholic president to be supportive of legalized abortion. He said that he wanted to put together a group of bishops just to talk about how to address some of the unique challenges that presents.
And one of the things that those bishops suggested is a statement from the conference on what they call Eucharistic coherence. And that's basically a nice way of them saying this question of pro-choice Catholic politicians receiving Holy Communion. Because obviously bishops around the country are saying very different things about it.
Right.
And so the idea of that statement has now been passed on to the USCCB's Committee on Doctrine. And we at the Pillar reported last week that the bishops, the whole U.S. bishops are expected to vote at their June meeting, their June virtual meeting, on whether or not they want to sort of move forward with the drafting of a statement on this question of Canon 915 and other things they're calling Eucharistic coherence. If they did that, then the document would be written, it would be reviewed by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, the Vatican Office that just put out the statement this morning that we were talking about, and then the full body of bishops would be able to vote on whether or not to issue the statement after that. So there are a number of steps, but yes, it was the election of President Biden that got the U.S. bishops deciding, at least a committee of the U.S. bishops deciding, we need to start talking about this more and talking about this as a body, and things will kind of go from there.
Yeah, I'm just an observer of what happens, you know, in the culture and within the church. And I remember when Archbishop Gomez issued his statement on Biden's election, Cardinal Supich, the Cardinal of Chicago, chided him and then got a private audience with the Pope. How are they going to be able to deal with this in a unified way? Can the bishops all come together on this issue, or is there a separation of thought?
Well, the bishops will deal with this in the best sort of way that Americans know how, which is to say that they'll vote. And I don't think that there will be consensus. It would be unimaginable, in fact, for there to be sort of unified consensus among bishops. But at least in my observation of the conference, and I've been observing the conference for quite a while, I suspect that there will be a support among a pretty sizable majority of the conference for a statement. A lot of bishops will want to have input into so what it means and those kinds of things. But there will be a minority, probably. You know, Cardinal Supich has already sort of expressed opposition to some of this, and so probably Cardinal Supich will be among that minority. But there will be a minority sort of saying that this is unfair to the president and things like that. But I suspect the majority of bishops will support it, and then after it's written, the majority of bishops, probably a smaller majority of bishops, but still the majority of bishops will support probably the publication of the statement, would be my guess. The really interesting part will be when it goes to Rome to see sort of what input the Vatican puts and how they kind of want to deal with this issue. So we'll be watching that too.
And I'm also just curious as how this will play out. I mean, we're going to be in a midterm election before you blink your eyes and another general, right? So where does it go with the bishops as a whole say that, look, if you are a politician who professes to be Catholic, yet you are supporting the culture of death through your legislation, you're publicly dissenting from the church teaching, you're not in communion with us on that, and they say they should not receive Eucharist, and yet, you know, the bishops who are directly in charge of those Catholic politicians ignore them. What happens there?
That's the interesting thing. U.S. bishops can put out a statement, but they can't tell any individual bishop what to do on this. So.
Right.
Could be that the minority in terms of the voters, you know, on this, the ones who don't support putting out a statement, are among the ones who are most directly empowered sort of to address the issue, at least the issue when it comes to Biden. So, yeah, you may get the USCCB saying one thing, and then the Archbishop of Washington has already said he doesn't believe in that kind of restriction on the Eucharist, sort of saying another. And then that would be the kind of tension that we tend to live with in the church in one way or another, and I suspect it'll be more of the same in that way.
You're not kidding. Well, look, before we run out of time, I want to talk about the Pillar, because that's new. I've been checking it out. As I said, I go there daily, and Relevant Radio is signed up. We have subscriptions for a lot of our staff now, so I know it's a little bit of a different business model, but it's a great resource. And in the 2 minutes I have remaining, why don't you just fill everyone in a little bit on what you're doing?
Sure, yeah. Pillar Catholic is a journalistic project that I co-founded earlier this year that aims to cover the Catholic Church in a way that is intelligent, thoughtful, based on facts. So not that our opinions are front and center, but that the facts are front and center, and that does kind of a deep dive into the issues that are really driving the leadership and sort of the organization of the Catholic Church. And so we try to be fair, we try to be thoughtful, we try to bring some of our own journalistic skill to kind of some long-form reporting on the life of the Church, and then just keeping up on the day-to-day things like this.
I love it.
Check us out at www.pillarcatholic.com and go from there.
So pillarcatholic.com. Is it? Hey, JD, thank you. Thanks for what you do there. Always great to talk with you. These are issues that I am sure we will be revisiting as we see what time unfolds. So thanks for making time for us. Keep up your good work.
Thanks so much, Drew.
You got it. It's J.D. Flynn, canon lawyer, and of course, as he said, co-founder, editor-in-chief at The Pillar. And I would ask you as I wrap this up just to say, you know, one simple thing, and this is not trite or trivial. Let's pray for the church. Church needs our prayers. You know, we talk about praying for politicians. Let's pray for our leadership. All right, let's pray for that spirit of truth just to descend on them and that they can make the right decisions, be bold and eloquent in how they lead the flock. I'm going to take a short pause. When I come back, we got some stuff to talk about. How about $100 billion the U.S. plans to dump into a new nuclear missile? Stay with me.